Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Hope you all are having a great Wednesday out there. Been a fun show today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure that that goes right up to the 10 o'clock hour where we welcome in our guests for Morning Magazine for the day. Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, going to join us, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We'll say hi to Taylor and the gang. Get a county update from Lance. Looking forward to that. And in part two, we're going to welcome in our friends from the ODC. We have Carla joining us. May have somebody else. I'm not sure, but I know the ODC is going to be in part two.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. That's always a great conversation with them. So all this coming up for you. Right now, let's dive into a little entertainment news.
All right.
In honor of E.T., the extraterrestrial, celebrating its 40th anniversary. Wow.
40th. Oh, man.
The website Toll Free Forwarding figured out how much it would cost E.T. to literally phone home.
All right.
And whatever the number you're thinking of, I guarantee it's higher.
Yeah, probably.
76 quadrillion.
Whoa.
Quadrillion? Oh, we're getting up onto fake numbers now.
Yeah, exactly. I genuinely believe that they start making up names.
They
Dr. Seuss the whole thing. It's just made up stuff.
Yep.
Here's how they did the math using AT&T call data. Well, why did they use AT&T? It would have dropped. The call wouldn't have gone through. So E.T. is 3 million light years from his home planet. That's 17 quintillion miles away. So at a rate of 0.004 a mile for a 10-minute call from California, that comes out to about $76 quadrillion. So how much is 76 quadrillion? To put it in perspective, it's the whole world's total phone bill for 25,000 years, or 20 million times the net worth of director Steven Spielberg, or 117 trillion brand new iPhones.
Wow. These are numbers.
Mind-boggling numbers.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that. Are you kidding?
No, there's no way to. It is kind of, I think it's kind of cool, but there's no way to really consciously wrap that up.
Here's my question.
Nope.
Why is it taking E.T. 10 minutes to get a ride home?
Yeah.
He should have just called. He said, hey, come on, I'm ready. Get me. Come on. A couple seconds. That's all he needed to do.
Why he didn't just use his cell phone, I don't understand. I don't. Why did he just text?
Hey, he could have texted him. Yeah.
Boy, you guys, just the big dough emoji. And like, oh, you guys are not going to believe what happened to me. This is crazy. I don't know what was going on last night, but I ended up on this planet. What do you call this? Earth? Yeah, I ended up on this planet Earth for somehow. I don't know. But you're going to have to come get me because they are really looking at me funny. I found a bunch of people who are littler, and they seem cool, but these adults, I'm not sure about these older ones.
Crazy. Yeah. Insane.
My favorite thing about E.T. didn't even happen in the movie. I'm a little kid in my first movie or second movie.
Yeah.
I think a second movie, and my dad is sitting next to this guy that he's never met before, and they're talking up a storm through the whole movie. and because a lot of people are, nobody's saying anything because it's a city theater. There's a point where in the first beginning, and Elliot comes out to the shed. And the Reese's Pieces and all that?
Reese's Pieces, yep.
And it's a quiet scene. And as Elliot's getting closer and closer, my dad leans over to me and he's like, Jimmy, you ever see anything like that? You come and find me or your mother. I don't care what is going on. You did not touch that thing. Like, he could not have. It may have been one of the most serious conversations him and I have ever had.
Wow.
That is hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
It was so funny. He gets mortified when I bring that up nowadays.
But
and
still,
stuff.
That's great.
Horror movies are not for everyone. And a poll this past week found 45% of us don't like them. So here is a list for the rest of us. A writer for BuzzFeed thinks they came up with the best non-scary movies for Halloween.
Mm.
They may not be all be suitable for young kids, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
But I want to start at the bottom of this, and we're going to just burn through some of these.
All
like
right.
Little Shop of Horrors. Signs with Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I hated that movie.
You were not alone.
I hated that movie.
A lot of people I know did not like that movie.
Anyway.
Labyrinth with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
a hidden kind of gem for some, The Witches with Angelica Houston, based on the Ronald Dahl book. Came out in 1990. Anne Hathaway also starred in the remake in 2020.
Oh, wow. I'd forgotten about that movie. Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Blast from the past.
They say the Twilight movies. and they also say, can you believe they came out 14 years ago? Is that true? Did they really? Wow.
It's been that long,
I guess
man.
So.
Yes.
There's a couple of great ones on this list. I would say my number one comes in at number 10. What We Do in the Shadows, the film. it is a wonderful New Zealand documentary about vampires. And it's incredibly incredible how they got the cameras in there and all the things that they were able to. It's a great comedy. God, yeah, is it a good comedy.
Taika Waititi, yep.
Oh, it's so good. And really, you get some early, go back and watch that. You can, and you see his newer work. And you're like, oh, I see it. I see the connections.
It's all there, yep.
The great Jermaine Clement, also in it from Flight of the Conchords. It's just such a good movie. Caroline is number 9.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
The animated film. Very good, yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember this one, Casper with Christina Ricci.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's a 90s classic. Yeah,
I love that one.
Also at number 8, The Addams Family, where she plays Wednesday.
The
movie with Raul Julia and Angelica Houston and all that.
There are very few movies where there's like almost across the board perfect casting.
Yeah.
And that movie was one of them.
Whether it's Christina or Christopher Lloyd, Joan Cusack is in it a little bit.
Yeah, she's like the villain.
Yeah. I mean, there's literally, you're so right, Seth. There's not one bad casting.
I can't remember the name of the guy who played Lurch. One of those big actors, but I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was excellent. Yeah.
Number 7, The Craft. Neve Campbell, Fariza Balk. I always say her name wrong, but she's so good.
Yeah.
It's rated R, though, so it won't be too good for little kids, necessarily. Yeah. But, yeah, that's one for adults.
That's especially very 90s, though.
Yes. It's such
very
a nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's such a throwback. You're watching that to go back to high school. That's
you
all
are,
you're
basically,
doing.
Yeah.
Stardust with Michelle Pfeiffer as the head witch in charge. It's not a great supporting cast, but Robert De Niro, Claire Danes, and Henry Cavill are all in it.
Wow.
I don't remember that one at
Neither
all.
Neither do I.
Weird.
I remember it. I didn't see it, but I do remember it being
What an interesting cast, though. Wow.
This may say a lot of me, but as a kid, it was one of my favorite movies to watch, like on repeat, like over and over. It just was a silly, weird movie. Death Becomes Her. Now, part of the reason I loved watching it, because I'm one of the bigger Bruce Willis fans you'll ever meet.
Right.
I love Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn may be one of my top 5 favorite comedic actresses of all time. Mm-hmm. So it was part of that I really loved it.
That's a really odd movie.
It is. It's such a weird, odd movie. And if you like dark comedies, it really hits, but it also doesn't in some ways. Like, I don't know how that movie's aged either. But
yeah, that'd be interesting to revisit that one. Yeah.
I just remember the cover. Because I always saw it in the video store and was like, oh, that's weird. Does that woman actually have a hole through her?
It was such an interesting design. That's a really good callback, Mel. One of the better posters, I think, memorable posters.
Yeah, very memorable, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good callback. Let's see. Practical Magic, Sandra Bullock, Nicole Kidman, where they play witches.
I like that one.
That's what my mom, my sister love that one. Yeah. Edward
Boring.
Edward Scissorhands at number 2.
Oh, that's a good one.
That one's really good.
And number 1, say it with me 3 times, everybody. Beetlejuice. It was great in 88 and still holds up.
Another great cast in that movie.
Perfect casting. So many great performances. A very young, I don't recognize Alec Baldwin in that movie.
He looks so young, I know.
He looks so, young Alec Baldwin and adult. And I'm not saying that Alec Baldwin has aged badly at all.
No.
Not at all. They just look like two completely different people to
That's
me.
Very interesting.
Baldwins,
Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, Gina Davis.
Yes, I mean,
good cast.
It's a great cast.
I mentioned Goldie Hawn. Ahead of Goldie on the list for me is the great Catherine O'Hara. I just adore her. That goes back to my SNL thing and stuff.
Very funny.
So darn good. Thank you for mentioning her name. I almost forgot she was in that. That's a great list. That's an interesting list.
Yes, well,
and
it
then,
is.
Of course, Michael Keaton. Got to mention him, too, I suppose.
Well, I suppose. Which was the most manic he's ever appeared on screen.
Which is saying something.
Which is saying something, but it was kind of weird because I forget when I watch it that that's Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Not only because of the makeup and the costume, but you just,
His mannerisms
are so different from his normal stuff.
He was so good in that when he would do some movies later on, directors would ask him, hey, could I see a little more to the juice? Could I see a little more? Like a good example is the movie The Dream Team, another one where he did with Christopher Lloyd. Sneaky, underrated movie. A group of mentally handicapped people are on a bus to go to a baseball game, and something happens to their chaperone, and so they're kind of left in the city to kind of find a way to get home and all this. And it's a wonderful little story. And there it's comedic, but Michael Keaton kind of, like, it's the only time I can think of him where it seems like he's overdoing it a little bit. It's still a great performance.
Yep.
I'm never going to say anything bad about Michael Keaton, but that's the only role where it seemed like, and then I found out as an adult, oh, yeah, the director was pushing him to be more Beetlejuice-like.
Yeah, well, do what the director asks.
Have another interesting one here that I want to get to, but we'll save this for another time next week, maybe. Right now, we have to discuss what we are going to do for a Halloween costume, if we are going to.
Okay.
This started out as a joke, and it has become a real thing. Like, we've really been talking about this behind the scenes a lot, you guys, all of our audience out there.
The tail is wagging the dog right now.
We Melissa originally had a great idea of a pumpkin spice latte. I thought that wasn't bad, but we've been kind of pitching around other ideas. Mel, you mentioned s'mores yesterday.
Yep.
Thought that was a good one. I would like to throw into the list a couple of honorable mentions, like rock, paper, scissors.
Oh,
that's a good one.
I think I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a classic. How about bacon, eggs, and pancakes?
That's a good one.
That's not a bad one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like that. And then there was another one I found. Well, salt, tequila, and lime. That's not a bad idea, but I don't want to do that. There was one other one that I was thinking of that a lion, tiger, bear. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Yes. That one I think would be fun next year to do, like where we had some, we could plan it out and everything. Yep. We could get the costumes. I would really like to do that one next year. this year, I think we got to think of something that we can do in a short amount of time.
Right. Okay.
And not a huge budget. And in part, now, guys, we're doing this for ourselves and everything, but to the audience, we could have this conversation behind the scenes. We're not the only ones. There are a couple of friends of mine I know. There's some other people out there who are last second trying to think of what to do with their costume.
Right.
So maybe they get some ideas, or we spur some ideas, or some DIY stuff here, or do it yourself. Yeah, DIY stuff.
Yeah.
By hearing us talk about it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So what were you going to say, Melissa? I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
That's okay, but I think I've come up with the winner.
Okay.
So, you know, Seth's the right hand, I'm the left hand. So I think we should do the Cat in the Hat with thing one and thing two.
Oh, that's good. Oh, is that good? I love that. I love that.
Just seeing James in the hat yes. would be worth all of it. Would be totally worth it.
We want him to be 9 foot tall.
Yes.
I really that's the best one yet to me. I think that's the best idea yet. I really love that. That's one of those ones where you're probably going to go to like a Spirit Halloween or something like that to try to find those costumes. Whether we're going to do that or not, we'll figure that out behind the scenes, you guys.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. Let's talk about this approach it like we are trying to do it ourselves, though.
Trying
to create these costumes ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, I think this one would be easy to make ourselves.
You think so?
Really?
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, aside of the hat. The hat's pretty...
That'd be tough.
We could try to fashion something if you had a top hat, James.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We could add to it with even just paper. That would work.
That's true.
Yep. Seth and I just need to dress in all red, and then we can do paper cutouts that say thing one and thing two on it.
Put it on the shirt, right? Yeah, That's true.
And then James, all you need is a red bow tie.
That's not only awesome, that's doable. Like that's very doable. That's I love this. Okay. And really, I mean, wow, Melissa, you just kind of got that really good, like real quick.
Oh, the things also have blue hair. I'm not coloring my hair blue, but you know. Can I put wigs?
A blue scarf.
A blue scarf or something like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I found that your response to this, Melissa, very encouraging to people out there if they're in this spot, they're in this situation and everything.
That's the best part about these Halloween costumes. They don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
No,
you just
they don't.
You need to give the impression of, you know, and there's a lot that you can do with the stuff you have around the house.
That's right. Oh, well, some of the best costumes are like that.
They really are. Absolutely. I think maybe my favorite costumes I've seen on people are those type of costumes where they're just doing it themselves. That is an awesome one. Nicely done, you guys. That's fun.
That's excellent.
We'll see what happens. Find out this coming Monday, of course, on Halloween, where we'll have the team back together again. Melissa and Seth will be here with us, and we're going to have fun with this. We'll see. You know, we'll find out if we dress up or not. You guys are going to find out the day of.
You're going to have to come on by and look in the window. You'll find out.
I do want to encourage the audience, because tomorrow we'll get in more to Halloween times and different Halloween events in our area. We'll cover those on Thursday, Friday, Monday. We'll get to those. But for right now, again, a little bit of homework, a little bit of future homework, I should say. On Halloween, we want our Facebook page bombarded with your pictures of the kids that are dressing up for Halloween.
Yes, please.
Your costumes, all of the above. I want our Facebook page. I want Facebook to reach out to us like, look, could you slow down? You're crashing our site. I want
too much traffic.
We know how big our audience is. We know how much bigger it has gotten over the last year or so. This is one of those fun things where we can all work. We can all have fun together.
Let's all play.
This.
Let's have some fun. Yeah.
Interact with each other on this and everything.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be surprised, especially to our listeners out of state and all that. I think some people will be surprised at some of the listeners we have and where they're coming from and everything.
That's true.
So that'd be kind of fun part of this too. Yeah. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get in some more stuff on Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there, 9:23 on the clock. And last night, you guys, I was at my folks' house overnight, and I woke my mother up at 1 in the morning when I came across this article and just woke her up and said, ha ha!
Oh,
and
wow.
That's it.
Wasn't very nice of you.
No, it wasn't. If I had actually done that, I wouldn't be here today.
No, you'd be
like,
dead.
You'd never see me again.
No.
Never.
What happened to James?
Does anybody remember that James guy? Like, nope. You ain't seen him anymore. Nope. This comes to us from Euronews.next. Playing computer games is an activity usually associated with an increase in mental faculties, and many parents want to keep their kids away from staring at screens for hours on end. A new study has, however, found that hours of computer gaming could in fact improve some cognitive skills, such as those involving impulse control and working memory.
Interesting.
The study involving nearly 2,000 children and those who reportedly playing video games for 3 hours a day performed better in cognitive skill tests than those who had never played video games.
Wow.
3 hours a day? Wow.
That's a lot.
And those that had never played video games.
Yeah,
so
wow.
A pretty
yeah.
big outlier there between the two.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's part of a wider study in the United States called the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development ABCD study and funded by the National Institute of Health. Previous studies have looked into the relationship between computer games and cognitive behavior, but the neurobiological mechanisms underlying this are not well understood.
That's true.
Researchers at the University of Vermont therefore analyzed data obtained from children who had entered the ABCD study at the age of 9 and 10. Examining survey cognitive and brain imaging data from around 2,000 participants, they separated the children into groups, those who played computer games for 3 hours or more a day and those who reportedly played no video games at all. The two groups were evaluated on their ability to control impulse behavior and to memorize information. And they found overwhelmingly that kids were much better with their impulse control, had much better behavior with this, and much, 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 much better memory.
Wow.
Now, there is a catch. You heard me mention a couple times there, 3 hours. That is the cutoff. Anything more than that, and all this stuff almost goes out the window. Starts to decline the longer that you're playing games.
Yep.
Very similar, the longer you go without playing video games, the more this can happen. And I thought that may be even just as interesting as the rest of this article.
Right, right.
And we're still figuring things out. We're still finding data about this. While I would love this to mean, hey, kids, play all the video games. Yeah, we got free reign now because I love video games. There is still more work to be done on this.
Yeah.
Everything, especially with children, is a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And a parent-by-parent basis.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't like the idea of telling parents what you should or shouldn't do necessarily.
Right.
So within reason, of course.
I think one of the keys to this study is the age group.
Notice
that they did an exact, it was that 9-10.
Yeah.
And I think it really depends on how old the child is. I think that has a lot to do with it. I really do. So, I mean, that's a really interesting study about some of the things. Well, I think we've always understood, for the most part, that video games are good for certain things for your brain and not so good for other things. But a lot of other factors have to come into play, too. How much other screen time do you get watching TV? Other things like more passive stuff, because video games are more, you know, active.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. How much, you know, like age, like we said, you know, other health, how much exercise are they getting in addition? So, I mean, there's a lot of different factors, but that's interesting.
And even what kind of video games are they? Because video games vary, you know, from game to game.
Absolutely.
One of the other parts of this, too, is while this is on young people, I'm curious to know how it affects, like, 5 years after that. And 5 years after that,
teenagers,
I'd like to see a breakdown of up to young adults.
Yeah.
Brains develop are in different stages of development at all of those ages.
Exactly.
Well, we talk about this a lot, but we're still mapping the brain. We're still trying to figure things out. And the thing that we're a step behind on this, we've been doing this for a long time with the adult brain.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really even like looked into a young child's brain yet necessarily. So they're still like this article is really vital information for that factor, but also it's still just like it's early information.
Exactly. You. So I mean, we're gonna keep studying this. I know because not only is it fascinating the human brain in general, but what is all the stuff that come into our brain every single day. All the stimulus, all the stuff, bombarded every day with all this stuff.
There's, and we both know that whether it's knowledge of the brain, that's only going to increase.
Yep.
And video games aren't going anywhere. These are things that we should be working on. We should be figuring out before they become a problem. You mentioned we've always known video games. So anybody who's played video games on a routine basis in their life can tell you that hand-eye coordination is something that anybody who wants to be good at a video game, I don't care if playing Madden or you're playing, you know, Duck Hunt or
Pong.
You've got to have good hand-eye coordination.
Yep.
And that has certainly helped many young, the video game generation like ours and those kind of things. I think that at the same time, there's probably a negative effect it's had too.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't know about other people, but I still can't figure out what Q-Bert is. I mean, I've been racking my brain for three decades. I've been trying to figure out what Q-Bert is.
And what exactly is he saying?
It keeps me up at night.
I'm still trying to figure out how to walk and turn my head.
Yeah. You're right. Right.
No, I have a really hard time with that.
Are you saying you don't play video games, Melissa? Is that what you're saying?
I do play them. Yeah, I'm just terrible at walking and turning my head.
She's a gamer, all right.
I'm bad at it.
That's so good.
I like platform games.
Me too.
Those are classics.
I can't do the first person thing. Like when I was a kid, I played Doom a little bit, but that was it. I'm not good at the first person shooter kind of thing. I don't know what
walking
it is.
Walking and turning your head, basically.
That's the game. And I do play it with my brothers every once in a while. But that's the only way I can do it because I can hide out somewhere while they do their thing, and then I pop out at the end and get them.
Nice. Oh, you're one of those.
I like it.
That's good.
Wrapping this up, quote, this study adds to our growing understanding of the associations between playing video games and brain development, said the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, Nora Volkow. Numerous studies have linked video gaming to behavior and mental health problems. This study suggests that there are also to be cognitive benefits associated with the popular pastime, which are worthy of further investigation. We haven't gotten a lot of whole positive feedback. That is part of what the hope and excitement about this is.
Yeah.
Not because of all these scientists want an excuse to play video games. They're adults. They can do that whenever they want.
Right, exactly.
This is focused on, kids are going to play video games. Like, we're not going to get around this. Some families different than others, certainly, but overall, especially this generation is going to play video games.
They are, yep.
So let's figure out what, you know, if this is going to happen, what is the cause and effect of it?
Yes.
As the development of them go forward, how can they be crafted in such a way to cause a better improvement in our brains than negatives?
That's a great point. I think if being able to do that is really important. Let's find out better ways to do it. Yeah, I agree.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back a little bit in just a little bit with some Betty Wright stories, local good stories of the day, and all kinds of other fun stuff coming up on Mornings on WFHR. Oh, a classic. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good day out there, everyone. Melissa, Seth, James, all here with you. And we're going to get into a fun one right now. Less basic Halloween songs to upgrade your spooky playlist.
All right, let's do it.
Less basic.
I just love the way they worded that.
Yeah, that's good.
Got that too, didn't you, Mel? Less basic. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I can't tell how to take that. Okay, I'm sure by now you have all heard Monster Mash or Thriller a number of times. There are certainly the traditional songs that we kind of tied this time of year, All Hallows Eve. So let's look at some other ones here that might be kind of fun. Just looking at this list that they put together, here are a handful of less basic ones. Perhaps Vampire Is a Bit Strong, But... by the Arctic Monkeys. That's the actual title of the song.
Perhaps Vampire's a Bit Strong? Yeah, wow. Yeah. The Arctic Monkeys have some really interesting song titles. I got to give them credit
Very
for that.
True. Yeah. Very true.
I like the Arctic Monkeys.
Me too. They're good.
Actually.
Yeah.
I don't know them that well, but every time I hear a song from them, I end up liking it.
Yep.
And I saw them on SNL a couple of times because they love going on the show. They've been on like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. I can't get over how big that band is.
It's a
really big band, but they sound so like in harmonized. They sound so good together.
Yep.
Really good band.
Unfortunate name, but good band for sure.
Halloween from Phoebe Bridgers is on this list as well.
Okay.
Zombies from Childish Gambino.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I have not heard that one.
Anything Childish Gambino, I'm all in on. But I will say this also, I don't see it on the list. What about Zombie from the Cranberries?
Yeah. That's another one. That's one you could throw up there.
That,
yeah.
And it's not even on this list. That's weird. How would you not have that? Mary on a Cross from Ghost. Let's Kill Tonight from Panic at the Disco.
Let's Kill Tonight?
I guess so.
Again, another band I like a lot. I haven't heard a lot of their stuff, but it's a band I really appreciate. But yeah.
Just heard a song I hadn't heard the other day from them. And Laura was telling me the history of that band a bit, too. And I like a lot of the older stuff from what I heard.
Yes, yeah. Good stuff, yeah.
Fun band name, too. I do like that band
Panic
name.
Panic is a great name.
It's a good name.
She-Wolf from Shakira.
I think I've heard that one. Hmm. Yeah, I did. I was actually contemplating putting that on the Halloween bumper list when I was putting that together. Oh. I was considering that one, but I didn't put it on there. Maybe I should. I could still throw it on there for
you
a couple
should
of
have. I mean, it's such a less basic song.
Whatever that means.
That was
so confusing. Kids today and their music. What am I right? You know?
Next up on this list, Tear You Apart from She Wants Revenge. If you have never heard She Wants Revenge, essentially their whole music library is perfect for Halloween.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Basically everything they've ever come out with. I love the band. I like them a lot. But
yes.
Yeah, their music, you've got to be in that certain mood to be into that stuff.
Yes.
Ghostbusters from Walk the Moon.
I forgot that that's the new version of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Bury a Friend from Billie Eilish. Okay.
Bury a Friend.
Haven't heard that one.
Ooh.
I do say I really do like her voice, though. I do
she
like
is,
her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blinding Lights from The Weeknd. Yeah, especially because he's in all he's all banged up and bruised and everything in the videos and stuff. Yeah. Monsters from All Time Low featuring Black Bear. Okay. Don't know that one either.
No, I don't know that one.
Howlin' for You from the Black Keys.
Okay. Oh, that's probably pretty good. Black Keys are a pretty good band. Yeah.
They are good.
And, they're very talented.
Yep.
A song that kind of was an older song, but it got a remake and kind of showed up in all these movies and everything, the Ya Ya Ya's Heads Will Roll.
Yes.
It's a perfect one.
That's a good one.
That's
yeah.
a really good one. Especially the remake. The dance remake is really good, too.
I missed the boat on that one. Dang it.
That's a good one. That's kind of a fun list.
I like that. And it's also the perfect segue, James. I appreciate that you did this exclusively for me.
Yes.
Because about Seth Faces the Music this weekend, we do have I'm actually going to be playing the Halloween show I put together last year because actually I thought it really came together really nicely.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I want to play it again. And so a lot of the bumper music that you've been hearing, actually you'll hear the full versions of some of those songs because those are in the show. A couple of other ones. How about this? Here's an obscure band that plays almost exclusively Halloween type songs. The Dead Elvi.
Whoa.
The Dead Elvi have you actually there are a couple in the bumpers actually put in there and on the set face of the music. They do almost exclusively Halloween type songs. And it's kind of your basic rockabilly kind of sound. Yeah, it's really good. They're actually very talented. But like Wolfman Road, one called Halloween, Skullhead. Nice. What's the other one? I can't remember. There's basically they have one about a party that like a monster rally party, like Dracula's cooking ribs the Wolfman is there.
I love it.
It's good stuff. So
I got to look them up.
Go to YouTube. A lot of their stuff isn't available elsewhere, so you actually have to look it up on YouTube. Okay. But it's the Dead Elvi. Yeah.
I like it. Yes. I like it. That sounds awesome. That's a good one.
Interesting.
That's a fun one. You can go to aftermidnight.iheart.com. That's aftermidnight.iheart.com if you'd like to see the complete list or some other suggestions they have.
Sure.
We'll go ahead and take a break on that note. I do have to say, though, Seth, I actually was trying to tee you up a little bit.
I hope so.
So yesterday, Seth and I were meeting about the Director's Cut show, and he told me what his show was for this weekend. And this article came up like a day or two ago, and I was going to hang on to it for next week for Monday.
Okay.
But I decided, oh, no, this is too good of a segue. So, yeah, nicely done. Nicely done. I meant to tell you ahead of the segment, though, that I was doing that. I didn't do that. It worked out all right.
Yeah.
At least the audience doesn't know. At least I didn't say anything to... Oh, dang it.
Oh, all right. They do.
We'll take a
guys,
break.
Guys, we were on air.
Yeah. What?
Thanks, Mel. Thanks, Mel.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break. Come back and have some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth and Melissa K. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Got some That Ain't Right stories here for you, and this won't do anything to silence any anti-showering conspiracy theorists. The world's quote-unquote dirtiest man passed away in Iran on Sunday at the age of 94. Wow. He was referred to as Amu or Uncle Haji. And there have been several profiles on his bizarre lifestyle. He had not bathed in more than 60 years because he believed that soap and water would make him sick. But a few months ago, villagers persuaded him to wash for the first time. And shortly afterwards, he got ill.
Uh-oh.
There's no known connection between him bathing and his passing. It probably had more to do with him being 94 and never bathing. But I digress. In 2014, the Tehran Times reported that Haji also avoided fresh food, opting instead for rotted porcupine and smoked a pipe of annual stuff. He also loved cigarettes and would often smoke several at once. He'd drink up to 5 liters of water a day, although it was out of the large, rusty oil can. It is miraculous that this man lived as long as he did. It is not something to necessarily like
aspire to.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Aspire for. Yeah, yeah. That's. That ain't right.
I was going to say, especially for like James here, I think that is like the cringiest of the cringy. Like,
absolutely.
No, never bathed for 60 years. Oh my gosh.
Hey, I can handle dirt. I can handle being dirty. I actually like getting my hands dirty and that kind of thing. What I like the most about it is getting clean afterwards. I'm a water person. I'm a clean neat. I'm a borderline neat freak. You're absolutely right, Seth.
Yeah,
this is one of the most that ain't right things I've ever heard of in my life.
It worked for him, though. I got to say, it seemed to really work for him.
Well, if you're looking to, you know what? I'm tired of dating. I'm tired of, like, people. How can I really, like, counter that? How can I make it, like, for darn sure that nobody's going to approach me? Like, man, well done.
They never mentioned a family. They never mentioned friends. Yeah. It's just people knew him. Like, hey, it's old crazy, you know, Uncle Khalil, whatever they call him. And it's like, or Uncle Hachi, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, my gosh. Okay. Mm. I guess live your life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is an excessive amount of showering, I think, that a lot of people do, because it's not really good for your skin to shower.
That's true.
As often as most Americans do.
That's correct.
But 60 years is a little excessive.
Jump to extremes here, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's like a massive extreme.
Our Danny Wright stories, we scour the globe for these, as you can tell from that exactly. last one. We went to Iran for that one.
That's right, yeah.
Being honest, mm-hmm. we tend to go to Florida very often. And I think it's only fair that we go to the Midwest here every once in a while.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's where we go for our next story. A 38-year-old man in Minnesota, your old stomping ground,
oh,
Seth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This 30-year-old man in Minnesota shot himself in the leg last weekend at the Twin Cities Harvest Festival corn maze. The man was at the maze with his family, and he had just walked out of the corn pit, which is a children's play area. He apparently had kernels of corn stuck in his boots and bent over to try to dislodge them. That's when his gun fired once,
oh dear,
with the bullet striking his own leg. It sounds like he's going to be okay, but there aren't any updates on his condition. Obviously, we would not be doing the story if he was not okay.
Yeah, right.
There is outrage from some parents since the place was packed with families at the time. The man's identity was not been released, but he's a licensed gun owner and was legally carrying a concealed firearm. That should be noted. The corn maze doesn't ban guns on the property, but his recklessness may have broken the law, so the police are considering filing charges. And I can guarantee you, next year, these corn mazes will have this law that you cannot bring a firearm.
They're going to have the new rule. I guess, you know, that's a That Ain't Right story, and I'm just totally relieved that it hit him.
Yeah.
I mean, this could have been a completely different story.
A lot of little Absolutely. Kids around there.
Oh, it's terrifying. I mean, I'm sorry. He was legally able to carry it, and that's fine. I don't really have a problem with that, but use your head about when and where to do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry, but just too dangerous. There's too many people around.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, if your firearm can go off just by you bending over.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there such a thing on a gun called a safety?
Yeah, there should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why wasn't the safety on? That was my first question. Why exactly. the safety wasn't on?
Isn't that like the first thing they tell you in gun safety? Yeah. Is always make sure the safety's on.
So bear with me for a second here.
Okay.
But yesterday we had the family center in, and I was so proud of our community, our audience, the conversation we had. We talked about issues that when we were kids, you guys, everybody talked in hushed voices. Mm-hmm. And now we've gotten really good about talking up front about these, being honest about them, bringing these cowards that take advantage and hurt people that they love to the surface and all this. It's better for our society, better for everybody. We got to get to a place where we can talk about guns without everybody getting scared and afraid that some
angry
on either side.
Yep.
One, mm-hmm. whether you're I don't want to say anti-gun because I don't know that anybody is necessarily
or against.
I
don't think it's that. But this divide that continues to happen with this conversation of you're either for or against. You're either for America or you're against America or anything like that. I don't know if I've ever met a single person in my life that has said, you know what, all those guns, we got to get rid of all of them. I have never heard anybody say that, but I have heard for decades now people say that, well, why does everybody got to be able to walk around with an AK-47? Why do you need an automatic weapon? That's a different conversation than what came out of this conversation here, this story.
Yeah.
But that is a conversation that should be had.
Yep.
You can't is it guns problems that we're having all these school shootings or not? The only way we're going to find out is if we have the conversation, an adult conversation, not immediately people wrapping themselves in the Second Amendment and you're going to try to take away my guns. Nobody's trying to take away your guns any more than trying to take away Christmas. All right? We're trying to save lives. What we're trying to do here is figure out what the problem is, why this is happening. Is it the gun's fault? Is it people's fault? Is it a combination? The only way we're going to figure out is if we can talk about these things without people getting bent out of shape and losing their cool and not being able to talk like an adult.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If we can just get out of the way that, hey, the Second Amendment is in the Constitution, okay?
Yep.
It ain't going anywhere. Now let's go from there and where we can discuss this and where, you know, the ups and downs and the pluses and minuses of this conversation, because there was just days ago another shooting and I barely saw it touch the headlines.
Yep.
We've gotten numb to this, you guys.
Yep.
We've gotten numb to all of this and our kids are suffering from it.
Yep.
I'm done worrying about adults. I'm done. We've proven as a society that if we're not going to care about other adults, then why should I care? I do care, but I'm bent out of shape about this one because I can't stop thinking of the kids. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to go to school and worry if you're going to be in a fight, if you're going to get stabbed or something like that. It was common where I grew up. That's something that should be, you know, worked on and changed and looked at and everything, but it's something that I'm used to. My parents moved me up here, moved my brother and sister to Wisconsin to get away from that stuff.
Yep.
Families do this all the time, moving out of big cities to go, where are these happening? When's the last school shooting in Chicago? When's the last school shooting in Los Angeles, New York? It's not happening in those cities. It's happening in rural towns. It's happening in small towns. Mm-hmm. These conversations need to be had. Not that it's going to change anything right or wrong or one way or the other. I don't know. But we don't know unless we have them.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Yep, you're right on, man.
And not, again, in this divisive way of, yeah, all that stuff you love and you, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that. Or actually, we need more guns. We need even more. Like, either conversation, all these conversations need to be had because every minute we are wasting time. And this is a self-inflicted wound. This is something we can do something about as a society if we actually are adults, take a look at the subject matter, and dive into it without any bias and just go into it and get and figure out, okay, what can we do here?
Yep.
How are we going to make this right? Because I'm so dang sick and tired of this, man. I can't take this anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing kids scared to go to school. I'm sick of parents wondering if their kid is going to school. And am I going to see them at lunch? Am I going to see them later? Yep. That's not, shouldn't be a thing.
No.
And this is just school shootings, let alone just shootings in general, that are going on and everything.
Yeah. Well, and I think the point that, what the big point you're making is all of these subjects that we're afraid to talk about is because we stopped doing what you're saying. We're not doing the conversation like we should be doing. It's become, and I have to say, the media and its many, many iterations has a big part that's played in this.
Absolutely.
To get their clicks, to get their things. Yep. Let's divide people, and then more people will watch. More people will be scared. More people will be all these kinds of things.
Between the media and the politicians, you've got people with agendas, people with their own MO. My only agenda is keeping human beings alive.
Right.
Like, that's it. End of sentence. Like, that's all. I've got no agenda here. I've got nobody in my pocket, none of that. It's one of those situations. I hope more and more people that are like myself and you guys that don't have anybody necessarily, that we can come out, we can actually get people doing, making change.
Yes.
And making something different.
It's important for people like us to discuss change and just to bring up these subjects and talk about them. I've had multiple conversations with people who have far different views on things than I do. But, you know, let's throw out some ideas. Why can't having the ability to own a gun be as difficult as the ability to get a driver's license?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why can't it be that simple?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and that's just one idea. I mean, there's plenty of ways that we can discuss this if we do it without shouting at each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
We have some local good stories of the day we want to touch on. Seth, you got a couple of those over there.
I do. We have just a couple of notes that we also want to put out there. Mm-hmm. We do want to let everyone know that coming up in November, of course, the American Heroes Cafe is usually the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. But the one on the fourth Wednesday will not be taking place because Thanksgiving the next day. Yeah. So you're probably going to be pretty busy. Mm-hmm. So that one will not be taking place, but the one on the second of Wednesday of November will be taking place. So keep that in mind, 7:30 to 9:30 at the Elks Lodge. That's where that's happening. Today, James, you and Melissa yesterday talked to some Rock Larson about the Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium that is happening today. Two opportunities, one at 2 and one at 6 at the McMillan Public Library. That's at 409 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. So they've got a lot of great information here for veterans. Yeah. If you had any toxic exposure or you think you might have, it's a great way to learn a lot more information about that.
Yeah, you're a surviving family member of someone who has. Mm-hmm. Or you've been rejected in the past. Go. Find out the information.
Very important. Yeah. Very important.
Or contact Rock, because he'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And finally, just keep in mind, the Kiwanis are doing their Coats for Kids right now. Drop-off sites include the Wood County Sheriff's Department, Aspirus Riverview Hospital, Key Savings Bank in the main lobby, and then the Lowell Center by the dining services. Any kind of new or gently used winter wear, including hats, mittens, boots, jackets, coats, snow pants, whatever you got, they will take it.
Yeah, and greatly appreciated.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
As well as monetary donations to help with yes. the cleaning of those items.
Thank you, Melissa. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, Mel. Tomorrow, we'll have Seth and Beth tag team in the show.
With, yeah, that's right.
Co-hosting, and on Ooh. Friday, we'll have Terry Johnson. Looking forward to that. During the next couple of days, we'll also get into Halloween times and Halloween events that mm-hmm. are in the area.
Yep.
Also, on Monday, we'll do that as well, and Rhea go over those. Got a lot of fun stuff lined up for you the rest of the week. Melissa and enjoy your day.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All great right. show. Great show. Yeah. Seth, have a good one.
You too.
You guys be good to each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.